Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
In this line, in many churches that I travel to and visited, but I never taught in my own church, and it's a shame to me because people in our own congregation don't understand. So I would spend a few weekends to teach about revival, about the outpouring of Holy Spirit in the background in this area. So bear with me and enjoy the Word of God and receive the Word of God by faith. I will not be able to teach everything, but I will teach in this line for a while, so you understand. In fact, the things about the Spirit of God is not very easy to understand because we don't see Him. And many ministers don't have experience to explain. I thank God that I came from Buddhist background where I deal a lot with evil spirit. So I have a lot of backgrounds in dealing with spirits when I was a young man, when I was about 13 to 18 years old. And when I became Christian, I have experience with the Holy Spirit. So this is something that when God you give me this, I should use the experiences and the understanding of the Word to help you. Amen. So we're going to talk about Holy Spirit for a while. We're going to talk about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. How many people want to understand? Amen. Before we talk about the Holy Spirit, I'd like to read this scripture. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the enemy. I went to watch the Passion of the Christ 3 times already, and I'm happy to go again, because I love that scene that Jesus destroyed the work of the enemy 2,000 years ago. Jesus came to destroy the work of the enemy. That is his divine plan. Amen. He did it. He has done it. It's done. It's a done deal. However, it's not very evident that in the life of many Christians that the devil has been defeated. In the lives of many Christians, it sounds like they are defeated and the devil has victory. Amen. If you ask some Christian, how are you doing? Oh, I have a bad day. My dog just commit suicide. My car just blew up. My cat just ran away. I could not find it. I have a hard time. The devil give me a lot of hard times. Oh, I need to buy the devil. Something like that. They sound like, the way they live their life sound like the enemy already or always have victory. But my dear brother and sister, if I go to Africa and there are about 50 witches around that building try to pray against me, I tell you, those 50 witches cannot do anything to me and to you, because the one who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world. There is no power of darkness that can be greater than the power of God. But you need to have faith in this sentence. You need to have faith that the power of darkness. I remember when I stepped my foot into Thailand to start the church, I said, I don't care how much power the principality over there has, because the Spirit of God in me has more power than the evil spirit in Thailand. So I am not afraid. You, Takachi, you don't need to be afraid of the evil spirit in Tokyo or in Japan, because the Lord Jesus Christ has already destroyed the work of the enemy 2,000 years ago. It's a done deal. You just walk in the light of this truth. you have faith in this truth and walk in the light of it. Amen. You are not a defeated fool. You are a victorious people. You are the holy people. Amen. You have the one who is in you that is greater than the one he is in the world. And that one who is in you has raised Jesus from the dead that day on the third day. Amen. And he can give life to your mortal body. And the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, he is working on the inside of you. Amen. He is greater than demons. He's greater than the devil. Amen. We don't have to worry about demons. We don't have to worry about the devil. Just kick them out. Just resist them. What we need to do is to keep worshiping God. Keep talking about Jesus. Keep talking about the Word of God. Keep praising God. Walk in the fear of God. Love Him and serve Him. And don't worry, don't be afraid of the devil too much. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to understand this because Jesus have defeated the enemy. I want to change that sentence in the book of 1 John chapter 3 this way. For this purpose, you and I are manifested in year 2004 that we might enforce the defeat of the devil done by Jesus 2000 years ago. Let me repeat one more time. For this purpose, you and I are manifested in Seattle or in other part of the world to reinforce the defeat of the enemy done by Jesus 2000 years ago. You are not here on earth by accident. You are here for a divine purpose. What is the divine purpose? To defeat the enemy by the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the name of Jesus and the power of the Word of God on the inside of you. Amen. Don't think this way. My mom will never get saved. The devil is too big for her. No, no, no. You have the power to pray and speak to the situation. Amen. You have the power of God in you by the Holy Ghost. Amen. A lot of Christians don't understand. A lot of people, a lot of Christians don't understand. They just live day by day, go to work from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. and then go home, work day in and day out, and then retire at certain age, and eventually pass away, and nothing happened. My dear brother and sister, you are not here on earth just to go to work, to earn income, and to get married, and to retire in Phoenix, in Sun City, playing golf, and die on the coast somewhere. You are not living on earth here just for that purpose. Amen. You are here on earth for a divine purpose. Amen. And that purpose is to reinforce the defeat of the enemy. Amen. I pray for my kids every day and lay hand on them. I pray for them and I say, in the name of Jesus, my kids will belong to Jesus and the enemy cannot touch them in Jesus' mighty name. I'm the priest in my house. So I defeat the enemy in my house. I walk in that light. Amen. Hallelujah. A lot of you say, I'm waiting on God to do something in my life. No, 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 no. God already did His part. He is waiting on you to flow with Him. He is waiting on you to believe in Him and to flow with His Spirit and defeat the enemy. He is waiting on you to let Him move in your life, to move in our midst. The church has been waiting for revival. But actually, God already sent revival 2,000 years ago. But we blocked Him. You know, the main guy that blocked Him a lot is the pastor. Can you imagine a while ago, if I blocked God, I just, hey, we sing three songs, three hymns, and then stop. Next is giving, and I don't let God move. Then the revival cannot happen. But because we need to step out of the way and let God move. And the Holy Spirit can do anything in the church. This is His church, not my church. Amen. He has the freedom to do anything in the church. Amen. When the Holy Spirit touch people and do anything in people's life, will bring result more than a pastor try to do something in 10 years. Amen. I'd rather let the Holy Spirit work in you and through you. Amen. Hallelujah. Today I'm going to talk about three phases. If I have time, I will talk about three phases of Christian life regarding the Holy Spirit. The first phase, let me make a conclusion and then I explain. The first phase is that the Holy Spirit, this is why I explain this, this is related to revival. Later on you will see the picture. The first phase is that the Holy Spirit come to you and convict you. Two. The second phase is the Holy Spirit work in you. In. The first one, two. I never forgot that in 1981, somebody talked to me in my heart that I need to give my life to Jesus. I did not have the Holy Spirit yet. But God come to me and convict me. God come to you. Two, work in you. Number three, God will work through you to go out. A lot of Christians never go to the highest level that God planned for them before they die. They stop at only certain point. God wants all of us to go to the maximum level that God wants us to use us. God continue to change us inside and work through us. So that's why we need revival. Because in revival, God is working in us. And then God can work through us. You understand what I'm talking about? Amen. Hallelujah. If the church has only the word of God, we will dry up. But if the church has only the Holy Spirit, we will blow up. We look goofy. But if the church has both the word and the spirit, we will grow up. Amen. So that's why we need both the word and the spirit of God. John chapter 16 verse 8 say, and he has come. He will convict the world of sin. He mean Holy Spirit. And of righteousness and of judgment. The first phase that God deal with all of us is to come to us and convict us and help us to come to know Jesus. How many people remember the first week that you gave your life to Jesus? I never forgot. That day, I saw the movie Jesus from Campus Crusade. I saw Jesus pushed on the cross and the soldier put the nail into his hand. And I would look at that as a doctor and say, ooh, this is bad. Because I know how to perform an operation called carpal tunnel syndrome. So I know that when I open this part of the hand, I see a big median nerve about this size. And that nerve, when it gets pinched, people will have pain and numbness at night time, or when they drive, or when they comb their hair. So I know that when the nail goes through the hand like that, it's very painful. Have you ever had a nail go through your nerve? How many people understand when people have disc herniation and have leg pain? That's we call excruciating pain. When I saw that Jesus Christ went through suffering like that for me, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me that you need to be born again. You need to give your life to Jesus. At that moment, I gave my life to Jesus. And when I opened my eyes after a prayer of salvation, the world was changed. I remember that I went into the car. We turned on the tape that the missionary gave me from Campus Crusade. And that they sing the song, Jesus is wonderful. Oh, when I listen to the song, I feel like I come back home. Now I know who is my father. Oh, I'm so happy I'm a Christian. Now I have a relationship with God. I was so touched of the salvation of what Jesus did for me. That God was convicting me and speaking to me. What's the wonderful experience of coming back home to know God? I don't know about you. How many people feel like that the first few weeks after you got saved? Oh, I tell you. is wonderful. Amen. You need to know one thing is this. God has no grandchildren. God has only children. So you cannot go to heaven by somebody else's coattail. You cannot say that, oh, my mom is a believer, so I go to heaven. No, no, no. Every single one need to come to God by the revelation of the Holy Spirit themselves. You need to invite Jesus Christ into your heart as a personal Savior, Lord, yourself. And I tell you one thing, once you really get saved, when you really, really know Christ, you don't need to have a teacher to say, I'm a Christian. You don't need to carry the Bible to tell people you're a Christian. You don't need to have an earring with a cross here. People look at your eyes and they can tell you are born again. You will look changed when you are born again. Amen. I experience this all the time. Because as a pastor, I stand up here, look at the congregation. Oh, I have noticed this for more than 20 years because I have been a pastor for how many years now? 22 years. I always notice when people walk into the church, the first few Sundays they look dark, unhappy, cannot smile, their face look dark and dull, and no happiness, anger, bitter. And after these people accept Jesus Christ, a few weeks later, they try the glory of God. The eyes look changed. They smile. They're happy. They change. They don't need a t-shirt. They don't have a coffee mug to say, I'm a Christian. Amen. When you are changed by God, when you really come to know God, people can know, can tell. Amen. Hallelujah. What do you think if a person get hit by a truck on the freeway I-5 or 405? Do you think that person will look the same? No. The same thing if you are hit by the Holy Spirit. To you, that you are born again, you will look different. I remember Phil when he walked into the church the first Sunday. I never forgot. Now he looked changed. He looked younger. And more glorious. Amen. I never forgot when I saw Chris the first day at Chiren and Alicia house. Oh, you look pale. You look so, you know, and after you accept Jesus, you get touched by the Holy Spirit. You look changed now. You look happy. Your family come back together. Now financially, you're getting better. Everything start to turn around. Because God come to heal, to save, and to set the captive free. Amen. Jesus is the answer. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 36 verse 26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I never forgot after I accept Jesus Christ. And I remember I grew up in a well-to-do home. We have money. My dad is a businessman and he was quite rich at that time. And I was number one in the class all the time, either number one or two or three. Okay? And when I went to medical school, I got gold medal. So number one. So I remember before I got saved, I always looked down on people. I always don't like to hang around with poor people, people who have no education. I never forgot the first week I got saved. I and Dad went up on the bus in Bangkok. And I begin to look around because on the bus a lot of poor people up there, you know, a lot of people who don't have car. We got a bus that day and I look around. Wow, these people look so precious. I began to love people like, wow, God, what happened to me? I am changed. God, why these people look different from 2 days ago? And now when I look in the Bible, Ezekiel chapter 36, now I know because God gave me a new heart. I remember before I became a Christian, I'm sorry I say this, but please, this is an old story. I really discriminate Caucasian. I don't like to talk to Caucasian. I don't like other nationalities. I look down on Japanese, in fact. I really don't like Japanese because I feel I didn't like Japanese because they sell Toyota and Honda all the time to my country. They sell Sanjo and they get money out of my country to their country. I feel that Japanese is more smarter than us and they get a lot of money out of Thailand. So I don't like them. I'm sorry. I didn't need to use the right verb. But I remember after I got saved, the Lord gave me new spirit. Then, wow, Caucasian look beautiful. Amen. Every skin color look beautiful. When I saw Pastor Cesar come up here and chair last night, I said, oh, I'm so proud of this man. I love this man. He's my brother. We have the same dad. We don't see skin color anymore. We just love one another. Amen. Because God come to us. The Holy Spirit come to us and then come into our life and change us to be a loving person. God is love. Amen. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 verse 14, if you are born again, you will not say like this. You're going to say like this. I know that I have passed from death to life because I love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Let's say at the same time. I know that I am born again. What is the trademark of Christian? Love. We love people. Amen. Hallelujah. We love people more. We love people who are even different from us. Actually, when that pastor from Liberia sent me the picture and I open up in the computer, oh, I tell you, I was like, this is interesting. They all look African. They all look African. No white there, no Asian there. And I mean, just I look at them and you know, I tell you, I cry. Tear come out from my eyes. God, they look beautiful. You love them. And I really cry and I say, God, these are beautiful people. Amen. God love African. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm serious. I really was crying. Love them. Because God is love. Definitely you don't change overnight. It takes time to change. It's a changing process. It's a continual process. Amen. Hallelujah. This is what happened to all of us, including me. After we get saved, the Holy Spirit reveals himself to us. We become a Christian. We go to church. We get involved. We go to Bible study. After a while, we became dull. The excitement is gone. We no longer become tender to God. Become kind of harsh. The excitement, the zeal disappear. When God moves, we don't cry anymore. We cannot respond to the Holy Spirit anymore. We are not enjoying the song, the worship song in the car anymore. Why? Because our heart became hardened by bitterness, by unforgiveness, by disappointment in the church, by somebody offend us in the church or outside the church, by whatever happened in the ministry or in the Christian walk. Then our heart become dull and hardened. Amen. And then at that time, after you become a Christian for a long time, now you walk into your office and people look at you. Why you have a long face? I don't want to become a Christian. I have my own problem already. The Christian doesn't look happy. Christian look very sad. Christian look very dull and no feeling. Oh, I don't want to become a Christian. How many people understand what I'm talking about? How many people go through that? I go through that. I go through that period of time that I was very dull, very unhappy, a lot of bitterness and disappointment. Things happen in life. But my dear brother and sister, why revival? Why revival? Because God wants to send the wave of the Spirit into the church to touch you and to work on the inside of you to get rid of all the junk that make you dull and become non-tender to God's Spirit. Revival is the outpouring of the Spirit of God. The wave of the Spirit of God that come and blow in your life. The fire of God that come and burn on the inside of you to get rid of the dross in your life, the junk in your life. The only person in the whole world that can change your husband, the only person in the whole world that can change your wife, that can change your kids, that can change your pastor, is the Spirit of the living God. We cannot change anyone. Amen. That's why we need revival. You remember Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9? Apostle Paul was a religious man. He remembered, he memorized scriptures. He was religious. He was one of the best Pharisees. Amen. But what happened? Revival came to him. Okay, before I go on, let me explain this. Revival. A lot of people think that revival means 100,000 people come to church. That is revival. No. Revival must start in you first. Revival is a personal experience. It's not about massive experience. You can sit in the whole room with 500 people, but no, everyone else, 499 people, just doubt and don't care about God. Just go to church as a tradition. But one person sit there on fire, hungry for God. God, God, I have bitterness inside me. I want it to change. I need to go back to the first love for Jesus. That person can be touched by God and changed, and revival happen in that one person out of 499 person. Amen. So you need to understand this first. Because a lot of people misunderstand revival mean a big crusade. No, no. Revival mean personal touch of God, outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that God come and change on the inside of you. Bring you back to the first love for Jesus. Bring you back to the passion for Christ again. Amen. Acts chapter 9, Paul get hit by 3x5. Oh no, okay. I'm testing that you are awake or not. You remember one time I said wrong, 3x5. Actually, it's 2x4. Paul get hit by 2x4 of the Holy Ghost. He fell under the power. So Jesus spoke to him. And he got touched by God, by the power of God that day. And what happened? He got up. He was a changed man. He was on fire. He preached the gospel. We all need revival. We all need the touch of God. We all need the touch of the Holy Spirit off and on. You know why? We need revival all the time. Because when you go out of the church in there, you get some junk back again. Somebody offend you. Somebody hurt your feeling. Is that right? Maybe your own family hurt your feeling. Something happened that you come back to church. God, I need to get rid of this junk. So the Holy Spirit come and get rid of the junk again. You need revival on a regular basis. Amen. I tell you, when God show up on the scene, something gonna change. If God show up in the scene of your life, you will change. Amen. The meeting can be 3 hours, three days, or 3 years. Like in Azusa Street. When God pulled out the Spirit at the Azusa Street in California, many years ago, the meeting keep on going for many years. Amen? So that's why we need to be in revival all the time. Amen? Because God, the second phase now, God does not only come to you and convict you. The second thing, God come and go in and touch you and put the fire of God in you and want to change in you first. God need to work in you, the second phase. And this is a constant process. It's not a one-time thing. God need to keep working in You, let's say the same time, in me. How many people allow God to work in you? You can say no to him. Do you know that God is a gentleman? If you shut the door, he will not do anything. He's a gentleman. He never forces anyone. Amen. This is important. I want to explain to you. If you want God to work in your life, one thing that you need to be careful is to not to be around negative people. Not to be in a wrong church. Not to be around people who speak negative. Not to be in the place where people preach doubt and fear. Not to be in a church where people are just looking for their own business and thing, but in the communication, in the community that people love the Holy Spirit, love the presence of God, walk by faith, love the Word of God. You need to be around good, godly people to help you to respond to the Holy Spirit. Amen. The community you are in is so important to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Our church loves the presence of God. We love the touch of God. We love revival. Amen. We can block revival because God is a gentleman. You can have a meeting, but God never show up. You can have all the meeting, but God's still outside the door because you block him out. Amen. But in our church, we want God to show up. I don't mind if you right now offer honor the power and I preach to no one listen to me. I don't care. If God show up, he can touch you. It's not about my preaching. It's about God and you. Amen. He can do whatever he wants in the church. Amen. Hallelujah. This is a scary thing. This is a scary thing. You know, how many people know Lucifer? You don't know Lucifer. Lucifer is the original name of Satan. Lucifer, the Bible says he was walking up and down. Up and down. In the midst of the stones of fire in heaven. He was an anointed cherub. He was a worship leader in heaven. He was so close to the throne of God. God is the highest anointed one. And he was worship God, close to God. What happened to him? He was in the atmosphere of the highest anointing in the whole world. In the whole universe. But what happened? His heart become hardened and he did not want to submit to God and have a humble heart anymore. His heart become puffed up and he fell. Okay. How many people know Judas? Did Judas saw Jesus walk on the water? See Jesus walk on the water? Did Judas see Jesus feeding 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish? Yes. Did he see Jesus raise the dead? Yes. Stop the wind? Yes. Did Judas hear the whole teaching of Jesus with his own eye, with his own ears? Yes. He was close to the most anointed one in the world for 3.5 years. He was in a good church. Yes. The best church. Yes. The church of Jesus. The best church, 2,000 years ago. But what happened to Judas? Judas became prideful, became bitter, greedy for money, and eventually betrayed Jesus. This is what my prayer is for my children. God, Joy, Paul, and Tanida, I pray that they grow up in this church, in the wonderful teaching, in the presence of loving people. Brother and sister, God move, see miracle, people touched by God. God is moving in this church. But I pray God, they will not end up like Judas and Lucifer. What I want to warn you today is this. You can sit in the church years after years, months after months, days after days, in the presence of God. God move, you worship, you know, you feel goosebumps, God show up. You hear the good message. You are around loving people. But if you don't watch your heart, you don't humble yourself, You don't submit to God. You don't have the fear of God. You let your heart puff up. You look down on the work of the Holy Spirit. You look down on the laying on of hand and the falling and the laughter, all these things. You look down on the work of the Spirit of God. I tell you, you may end up like Judas one day. You may end up like Lucifer one day. And that is a sad story. I want to warn you right now that guard your heart with all diligence. You know what diligence means? You notice one thing? The Bible never say, guard your bond account, your 401k account, your bank account, guard the TV at your home with all diligence. The Bible say, guard your heart with all diligence. Because if you don't watch your heart and become soft, you don't become soft, become humble, become obedient to God, you can end up that way. How many people want to end up that way? I hope not. I don't want to. I want to serve God and love God until the end of my life. Amen. I don't want people to see me when I'm 60 years old. You are selling noodle. What are you doing in the past? Oh, I was a pastor. Why you quit? Oh, you know, the church hurt my feeling. I don't like it. That is bad. That is not right. We need to keep our heart. It doesn't matter what other people do to us. We're going to love God. Amen. Don't keep bitterness. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And press into the Holy Spirit. Let Him get rid of the dross out of you. Get rid of the junk out of you. Don't keep the junk. Amen. The junk is pride, bitterness, unforgiveness, religious spirit, selfishness, greediness, the love of money, the love of the world. Repent and let the Holy Spirit get rid of them for you. Don't let those things make you like Judas one day. Amen. He is a gentleman. He will never force you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many people say, I want to walk, run the marathon to the last day? How many people say, I don't want to be lukewarm to God? I want to be on fire to the last day. How many people say, God, touch me. Work on the inside of me. Amen. Hallelujah. Why don't we pray together? We'll pray together that I have not finished this sermon yet. I'm going to continue next Sunday. Because I want to make sure that the children program will not be stuck with children for hours and hours. So we're going to wrap up. But I want to pray that God will really... I would like to pray for you that God will help you not to end up being cold toward God. Being lukewarm toward God. Being bitter. Full of bitterness, full of pride and resentment, but we will guard our heart with all diligence. Amen. Father, as a shepherd of this church, of this flock of yours, I pray, Father, that not even one person in this room will end up like Judas, Lord. You will convict them, you will talk to them, you will help them to be gentle to you, to be tender, to be responsive to you, to be hungry for you, to have the first love of Jesus back. Father, bring revival to every husband in this place. Bring revival to every parent in this place. Bring revival to every leader, every single person in this place, Lord, that there will be a carrier of revival. Father, all of us will continue to love you until the last day of our life, Lord, on earth. We will continue to live in the fear of God and honor you all the days of our life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless you, Lord. Ask you to help us in this church. Help our children, Father. Help all. I pray for all the children in this room, Lord, in this church, that no one will walk away from God when they grow up. Lord, I pray that they all will be on fire for God. Love God to the end. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before we close the service, I'd like to pray for a few people. I'd like to pray for our brother Ron Ward and his family. Hallelujah. Kitty, could you please stand up? Ron Ward is our brother here who has a high responsibility as a chair, I don't know how to call, president or something of the Bar Association. And he has so much, a lot of pressure in his work and his commitment for this state. I'd like to lift him up right now, that he and his household shall see the grace of God. Why don't we stretch out our hand and bless Ron and Kitty and Sarah, that God will bless them, give them more faith, give them the grace of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless Kitty and Ron and Sarah. We know, Lord, that you are their strength, their wisdom, their help. Lord, help Ron in his job, in his responsibility, all the decision in his life, Lord. Help him to be a godly leader in his household. Make him a man of faith. Touch him, Father. Touch him in his bedroom. Touch him in his car. Help him, Lord. We love him so much. And we know you love him so too, Lord. Even more than us. Bless this household, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Yoko, you brought two friends here. I'd like to pray for your health, that you will be healthy. Amen. Could you please stand up? Can we pray for you? Stand up. I'd like to pray for your health. The sickness will leave your home. Amen. Do you believe that God can heal you? Amen. That the sickness go and never come back. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, show your grace to them. We command the sickness to go away from this family. And they shall live supernaturally in good health. And they will come into the knowledge of God. Bless them. Bless their daughter, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give me a couple more minutes. I'd like to pray for Takachi. Takachi, before you go back, you need a lot of anointing. Come out here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He's going to go and bless Tokyo. Bless Japan. Hallelujah. 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 Jamie, you're going to go home to Colorado for a few months. I'd like to bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brett, Can I pray for you? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Chen gonna go and help the Hope of God Church in Seattle. I'd like to bless him to help that church. We love Hope of God Church. They are the blessing, they were a blessing to us for many years. We like to bless that church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ruby and Timmy, come out here. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Da, can you come and pray with me? By faith, God will bless you with His Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Rachel, come here too. God will use you. Hallelujah. Lift up your hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So when we lay hand on you, you just receive by faith. Amen. Receive by faith. By the laying on of hand. Hallelujah. Go ahead down. Yes, Lord. Fire. Right now. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Fire. Filled her, Lord, right now. Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.